God indeed. Let's go ahead and start church. Hope everyone's doing well and had a wonderful weekend, a wonderful afternoon. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Are there any spoken prayer requests on my right side this evening? Any spoken prayer requests? All righty. Anyone on the left side or in the congregation with a spoken prayer request? Don't want to miss anybody. Well, great. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Remember, my mom, she's not feeling well.
Absolutely. Anyone else? Alrighty. Well, if you have an unspoken prayer request this evening, just show by the raising of your hand. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your mighty name. Dear Lord, as we come together, Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, just want to worship and praise you and ready to receive your message, your word, and your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, may we just come together, dear Lord, now and just put you first in all of our thoughts, all of our mind, dear Lord, laying everything aside that's distracting us right now, dear Lord, and just come together as one to worship you. Dear Lord, now for this evening, dear Lord, you see the hands were raised. Lord, you've heard the spoken prayer request, dear Lord. We ask that you'll touch each and every one. Dear Lord, for those that are going through procedures, those that are sick and shut in at home, Lord, that those that aren't able to be with us for whatever reason, whether it be travel, vacation, for what reason, dear Lord, we just ask that you'll just bless them and keep them safe. Bring them back at their appointed time, dear Lord. Now as we open this service, Lord, we ask that you'll bless our pastor. Lord, bless him and his family. Lord, strengthen them as they go about the daily walk and also as they bring forth your word, your message, and be about your business. Lord, for each and every ministry, dear Lord, that comes forth from this congregation, Lord, we ask for your blessings to be upon it because, dear Lord, we dedicate it to you. And we ask you, dear Lord, just to continue to bless our service in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen.
Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. While you're standing, she was just playing some of it. While you're standing, turn to page 306, The Old Gospel Ship.
Yeah.
repentance. Turn around and tell somebody how much Jesus loves them as you're being seated. Praise God. Jesus does love you.
Yes, he does.
Amen. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. And the only announcements I have right now, we're going to postpone or reschedule the Band of Brothers. It's normally scheduled for Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. And I'll get with everyone and give you the new date. Thank you very much. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please? Yes, Lord.
Lord, and thank you, Lord, for your mercy on us, Lord, for giving us another day, Lord. Bless all those who are dying to be here tonight, Lord, whether they be sick in spirit or in body. Lord, we know we'll be able to take care of them, Lord. Bless us all, Lord, for the close of our work. Bless all those that have given us faith.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Guilty stains. I will praise you, I will worship you, I will give you glory.
Sees what he sees in us, not what we see in us. Praise God. Sister Macy, if you're ready, come on up. Come on up. Let's do your song. Thank you.
heart is just really full. Brother Tommy gave me a card with a beautiful love offering and all the gift cards. I just couldn't believe all the gift cards, you guys. All your generosity, your love, your thoughts and prayers, the calls, the text. I really appreciate them and really still desire them. And I just want to thank y'all. You know, He is still God on the mountain, in the valley. He's the peace that surpasseth all understanding. And I just thank Him because He is the in the eye of the storm. He is. So y'all help me sing this. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain.
It will. Hello? Testing? Sounds like it might be. No,
that's this one. I'm holding two.
That's this one. It's not
one
of the
Okay. Well, I guess we'll try again. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. Oh, and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Oh, don't lose faith. Never alone, for the God on the mountain, He's still God in the valley. Oh, when things go wrong, I know He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. Oh, the God of the day is still God in the night. Oh, we talk of faith when we're upon the mountain, and you know the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of those trials and temptations. Well, that's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. Oh, when things go God of the good times, He's still God in the bad times. Oh, the God of the day, He's still God in the night. You know the God of the day, He's still God in the night.
I mean, he's faithful to that God.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Certainly. If He'll be God with us on the mountain, He'll be God with us in the valley as well. Let's do Jesus. Sounded so good with her. I'm going to use this mic. I thought number one would surely be me. Thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but Lord, I can't even walk without You holding my hand. I can't even walk without You holding my hand. The mountain's too high, the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand. I can't even walk without You holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. Thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but Lord, I can't even walk without You holding my hand. Can't even walk without You holding my hand. The mountain's too high, the valley's too wide. Lord, I can't even walk without You holding my hand. Sing it with me, church, if you believe that. I can't even walk without You holding my hand. That mountain's too high, the valley's too wide. I can't even walk without You holding my hand. How many's thankful that He holds our hand? Amen. Whatever we may face, He holds our hand. Praise God, praise God. We'll give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house. Amen. Certainly He's worthy of all of our praise. Amen. So good to see you tonight. Appreciate you coming out on a Sunday night. I want to read some scripture to us tonight that has a very serious overtone. This afternoon, as I was just meditating on the Lord, God brought this scripture, this passage to my remembrance, and I just want to share it with us tonight. I don't want to keep you standing long. I will read the scripture, and then I just kind of want to get into what I feel that the Lord has led me tonight. Amen. How many knows we serve a great and mighty God? Wonderful God, a compassionate God. In the book of Proverbs, in the first chapter, let's begin with verse number 24, if we might. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse number 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh.
When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, that you're a merciful God. We're thankful for your compassion and your love. Lord, for your Holy Spirit that we feel in this place tonight. God, we ask, Lord, as a mere mortal, that the Holy Ghost would lead us and guide us and direct us tonight, God, in what you would have us to say or do. Father, we ask that you'd anoint these lips of clay. Use this vessel, God, as nothing more than just a conduit that you might speak to our hearts tonight. God, that we may be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. We do remember the many who are sick and afflicted, God, and we pray your healing power upon each and every one. Father, we remember the lost and dying tonight. God, and I pray for revival in the land. I pray for a stirring of the souls. God, I pray for an old-fashioned altar. God, to be full with people who are hungry for a mighty move of God. Father, we now ask God for your leadership and your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. One more hand clap for Jesus. You may be seated. Tonight, for a message title, I just want to entitle it, Too Late. Too Late. Before I get into the message, I just want to maybe give you an idea of where the Lord was kind of leading me. Been contemplating. You know, I've been preaching the sermons and the messages for a number of years. Many of those years, I referred to myself as a young minister. Not necessarily that I was young in age, but the Lord called me to preach at a latter years and not the early years. A lot of ministers started in their teens or their early 20s. That was not the case for me. And even after God called me, I did not answer him willingly. I hate to admit, but I ran from the Lord, from calling of preaching for a number of years before the Lord finally got my attention. But I began to think of the years that we have preached and the years that we have ministered about the greatness of God and His mercy and His faith and or His ability to answer and regard faith and all the healings that He's done. And I began to think there's many, many messages that have been to the lost and to those who need a touch from the Lord or those who need salvation in their life. And I thought of all the years that we have ministered and other ministers have ministered to, there should not be a reason, amen, for anyone under the sound of that preaching not to answer the call for salvation. But needless to say, there are those today that are procrastinating, those that seemingly may be unconcerned or maybe not as serious about their salvation or about where they're going to spend eternity as they need to be. And these scriptures kind of caught my attention and really pricked my heart. Now, we know that the scripture is written by Solomon. Solomon is writing in the Proverbs the things that he had noticed and the things that he had observed, and he began to write them down in kind of like what you and I might refer to as a journal or a ledger. He began to write and see the various people and the way that they regarded life and the things that they did, and he wrote a lot of wonderful things in Proverbs. But here, if we back up just a little bit, he's referring to wisdom. Wisdom is what's calling out. Wisdom is calling out to those. In fact, we'll start in verse number 20. As he writes, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, I will make known my words unto you." Many Bible scholars agree that this is a foreshadowing of the call of Christ to sinners. We know that when Christ came and he taught and he was reaching out to the lost and to the undone, and as we preach this morning, you know, the Lord was constantly reaching out, and he also prepared his disciples to go and preach the message of salvation too, so that any and everybody could save. You know, Peter said, it's for you, it's for your children's children, even as many as them that are far off. And I always regarded myself as one of the latter, one that was far off. But I'm so thankful that Jesus opened up the door of salvation for me as well. So the prophet, or the writer here, Solomon, in fact, begins to compare the call of that Messiah to the call of wisdom. And wisdom was something that everybody in that particular day and hour did not take advantage of. Understand that he has some very strong words to those who refuse. Many would believe that Christ's call to the sinner was called, but you did not answer. That's one of the things that he mentions. He's referring as wisdom here. But again, if we can see that as a type and shadow of the salvational call of Jesus Christ. And I believe with all of my heart that Christ is still calling folks today. We know right now it's not too late. But one of these days it's going to be too late. I'm not trying to convey to you tonight that if you don't get saved tonight, it's too late. We know that the Lord is merciful and we know that He is gracious, but we also know that the time is drawing near. Bible readers would agree, I believe, that the things that are taking place today are nothing more than the prophecy being fulfilled in the Word of God. The things that are transpiring, the things that we're seeing. Many people are saying we've never seen things like this before. We've never experienced things like this before, but be willing, be prepared to know that what the Bible referred to as prophecy is coming to pass. So if you know somebody, if you're related to somebody, if you live close to somebody, has not made that salvational call, has not come to Christ, I believe that we need a revival spirit. I believe that we need an outreach today. Amen. Not necessarily to fill the churches. We could fill the churches, but if there's not salvation there, we just have a church full of folks that were not pleasing to God. But we need to reach out past the doors of the church and begin to call and begin to work with the people that do not know Christ, that have not answered that call, before it gets too late. I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus referred to as the 10 virgins. And as a young boy, I thought about that, and I thought about how sad it was for five of those. But you know, we're living in a time and era when it's not our fault. Nobody accepts the blame. If that was the parable would have taken place today, the five foolish virgins would have said, well, it's not our fault. The stores are closed and we couldn't get our oil. They did not prepare. But I don't want to come to the end of time. I don't want to come to the judgment seat of God and try to offer up an excuse as to why I did not heed the call, why I did not answer. I can stand today behind the pulpit and I can declare to you that the first time that the Holy Ghost pricked my heart, I didn't answer. I sat back. I procrastinated. I said, I'll do it later. I got too much time. I'm a young man. I got plenty of things to do before I get saved. But you know what? I was never promised that tomorrow. I was never promised that very next breath. But God began to speak to my heart this afternoon and said, you know what? It's time that we preach the salvational call for sinners to come to Jesus Christ. Because one of these days, in fact, it is going to be too late. Not because of the church being closed up, but because of God is going to withdraw His power and His Spirit. He's not going to reach out and convict those souls. And I thank God that He did reach and love me enough to convict my soul, to let me know that I needed to come to an altar of repentance. Here, Solomon says, using again the analogy of wisdom calleth, but you did not answer. One of the most frustrating things today in our life is to be called and not answer. When you're trying to call somebody, you know, how aggravating is it to get a number? And you have to mash a number one for this or two or this when it's hard to get a real person. Imagine the Spirit of the Lord calling and beckoning and with His outstretched arm calling again and again and again for you to come to repentance, for you to come unto salvation, for you to come and be born again. Why would anybody not want to answer the call of salvation to be born again? We have procrastinators. We have people putting it off to the very last thing. They're use the story of the 11th hour that they came in. And yes, God's mercy and His grace is sufficient to even save you in the midnight hour. But why would we ever want to put it off to that time? So He's calling out, but you did not answer. He said, I held out my hand and no man regarded. No man regarded. I would or would not hear my counsel. As I tried to speak to you, you turned your ear to a deaf ear and would not hear my counsel. You would not acknowledge my reproof. How many is thankful for the reproof of a loving God? Amen. How many is thankful that sometimes when we err in the way, God is loving enough and gracious enough to direct us, amen, and reprove us for the ways that we wander away from Him? Thank God for His chastisement. And then for this rejection, I will laugh at your calamity. Those are some very strong words. You know, there's a feeling today that God is such a God of love that He would not send anybody to torment or to hell. But you know what, folks? It is not His will that any should perish. It's not His will that we go to that awful place. In fact, He is calling and calling and beckoning to the lost sinner today to not go to that place, to come and be born again, come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He said, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when fear comes. When desolation and destructions come, I won't hear or I won't answer. When distress and anguish comes upon you, you will call, but I will not answer. You will seek me, but you shall not find me. Today, in this community, in this city of Villa Rica, I'm not trying to be judgmental by no fact, by no reason at all. God did not call me to be a judge, but I would dare say that there are people today, amen, that have probably felt the call of the Lord, probably felt His compassion, probably felt that convicting power, but for whatever excuse or whatever reason they have, they're pushing it away. They're saying, oh, you know what? I've been hearing that all of my life. I've been hearing the Lord's coming, or I've been hearing that eastern sky is going to split. But let me tell you, it's going to happen. I can't tell you when. No man knows the day or the hour, but according to the Word of God, it is going to take place. And this, we don't want to be too late. We don't want to try to run to a church or find an evangelist or a pastor to pray for us at that particular time. And even if we're not, even if the coming of the Lord doesn't split the sky and come, there's no promise that we'll live to see the next day. Many, many people are living the life that they want to live and doing the things that they want to do without any regard whatsoever to the call of the Lord. Who is this warning directed to? Here it was directed to the simple ones, the scorners, and the fools that hate knowledge, to those that think that they don't have to answer to anybody, to those that thinks the Bible is just a book of fables, to those who disregard Christianity and disregard that Jesus is the Son of God and that He is the Messiah. There's many today. In fact, I'm very, very alarmed at some of the percentages that we're hearing today about less and less percentage of people even regard church as a necessity or something in their life. They're just it's just something that's out there, and they don't want to take part in it. And you know, and I know God is a loving God, and I know He's a gracious God, and thank God that He's more understanding and more forgiving than we are. Amen. I've heard people say if it was left up to them, they would probably already come and receive the saints home. But how many knows that God is gracious? He's long-suffering, and as long as we have breath, and as long as God's mercy and His hand is outstretched, there's still a possibility, amen, for us to be born again, for us to be saved. I know I'm talking to probably people who have been saved for a number of years, but I want to stir our hearts. I want to stir the families, and I want to stir the communities of where we live. If we work with somebody, if we live next to somebody, if somebody is a relative in our family and they have not answered that call yet, we need to do something. You know, if we could physically do it, we would do it, but we can't do it. We got to let them understand that one of these days, what they've been reading, one of these days, what we've been preaching for years and years and years is going to take place. And if they wait till that possibility of all of that glory gone by, then it may be too late for them. Because God will withdraw His Spirit. There will be a time, amen, that maybe you don't feel that convicting spirit. Maybe you might be turned over to a reprobate mind. The Bible says to believe a lie and be damned. But He says, who is this warning to? It's warning and directed to those. They that hated knowledge. It's what what Solomon says. Again, he's referring to wisdom as wisdom reaches out. But I want you to use that type and shadow, that foreshadowing of Christ and Christ reaching out today. You know what? The Lord is still calling the unsaved. He's still reaching out to those. Why? Because He loves us so very much. He loved us so much that He bled and died on the cross of Calvary that we would not have to go to that awful place. Who is it directed to? To those who do not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear, the utmost respect of an almighty God. To those who would not receive counsel. To those who would not... My granddaddy was talking about a man that he was witnessing to when he worked there at Goodyear plant in Rottmart, Georgia, years and years and years ago. And my granddaddy always carried a little testament in his shirt pocket. And he was witnessing to this man. And he said, well, here, let me just get it in my Bible and I'll read it to you. And he said, the man told him, I wouldn't believe it if you showed it to me in the Bible. There are actually people like that today. They don't want anything to do with the Word of God. In fact, they call us fanatics and everything else, our Bible thumpers, because that we believe in the Word of the Lord and we believe that God is coming back. I believe just as the Lord went away, that He's coming back in like manner, and He's coming back, amen, for those who have been born again, those who have the blood of Jesus applied to their life. You can't get rid of your sin in any other way except have the blood of Jesus applied to your life, amen. But those that do not or would not receive counsel, and finally for those who despised reproof. But there's good news at the very end of that chapter. In fact, after all of that negative speaking, after all of those things that will happen to people who would not receive, people who would turn a deaf ear, people who would not regard reproof, and people who would not hear to the voice of wisdom or the voice of Christ, he also says in verse number 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear or evil. Look what a great difference it is when the fear and evil come to those that are unsaved, to those that do not have a relationship with Christ. It is called destruction. It is called a disaster. It is called a distress, a whirlwind. But to those who know Christ and those who have been born again and those who have come to an old-fashioned altar and said, Lord, you know what? I need you to come into my life. I need the Holy Ghost to cleanse me. I need your Spirit to guide me, to lead me. Those are the ones, amen, that shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I thank God for the wonderful feeling of safety and security that He has instilled in my life. I've not always had that. When I was younger, before I got born again, before I got saved, there was a lot of nights that I didn't go to sleep very well because I was afraid. I raised in church, and I was afraid that the Lord might come or take me that night. But you know what? Even that, the next morning, I was sort of kind of pushed it behind me. Not proud of the fact. I'm just stating facts. But you know what? There's people out there today. Oh, I made it again this year. We done made it through this. You know, one of the greatest times to probably have a Holy Ghost revival would have been on the day of the year 2000, right after 1999 had passed. I was in the bread business then, and people were just—they were panicking. They were thinking that all the banks were going to just kind of close up, all the machines were going to crash, and some even thought that would be the day that the Lord came back. And you know, there was a lot of people with a repentive spirit, but you know, the next day when the sun came up and things returned to normal, they forgot their promises to God and they went on about their way. And for some reason, I don't know why it takes, sometimes it takes destruction and devastation and all of these things to take place before one finally makes a move for Christ. But I don't want it to be that way. I want to come to Christ and I want people to come to Christ while the door is open, while His arm is still outstretched. Because I believe with my heart, amen, I believe with the Word of God that one of these days that call may not go out. There's a lot of tombstones right now that people didn't expect that to be their last day on earth. And ever how that is, ever how you leave this walk of life, is the way that you're going to meet eternity. And eternity is forever. And I want to be ready. And I want everyone under the sound of my voice to be ready. I want, you know, maybe we need to, and I'm not telling the Lord what to lay on my heart, but maybe we need to preach salvation even more than we do so. Because so many times, and again, I know the church. I know the church is here, and I know you people are faithful and filled with the Spirit of the Lord, but you probably know someone. You probably have a relationship with someone somewhere. Maybe it's someone you shop with. Maybe someone who cuts your hair. Maybe someone that waits on you in the restaurant. There's so many people out there that needs to hear the voice of somebody that loves them. There's nothing wrong with asking them, are you prepared for eternity? Before it's too late. Before it's too late. I finally realized that I was tired of those sleepless nights. I was tired of not knowing where I was going if, in fact, I was not able to see the dawning of another day. So I gave my heart and gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it hadn't always been easy. You know that. But it's always been worth it. Amen. Because I can lay my head tonight and go to sleep and not worry about where I'm going to spend in eternity. And I want you to know, it's not because of my goodness. It's not because I'm a preacher. It's not because that I got my name here on the roll book in church. It's because I went to the altar and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, to fill me with His Spirit and with power, and give me that strength, amen, to go through and to live for Him until He comes again. If you're not ready, don't wait too late. If you're not ready, if you hadn't got things taken care of, now is the time to do it. Good intentions are wonderful, but if they're not fulfilled, if they're not carried out, then that's all they are, is just intentions. And I know a lot of people that were not planning on dying this soon. They knew that one day they would die, but they were not planning on dying this soon. They were going to get things straight. They were going to get things worked out. And I in my 30 years of ministry, I've heard people say, "Preacher, you know what? When I get my life in order, I'm going to come to church." And I love them, and I love them, and I would not be offensive or disrespectful in any way, but I try to tell them, I say, you're not going to be able to get your life straight. You can't do it. It takes Jesus to get it straight. It takes Jesus to work the priorities in our life and let us know that we need to be ready when He comes or called. Don't be like the five foolish virgins. You know, they had every opportunity to get of the oil that the others did. And that's the whole analysis and the whole lesson in that particular thing. You know, we talk about five foolish virgins. They were all virgins. They were all clean. They were all guests of the bride and of the groom at the wedding. But five of them were prepared. Five of them actually were more than prepared. It's all right to have a little too much. Amen. I heard one party say, I'd rather get to heaven with a barrel too much than get there and lack a thimble full. And there's a lot of profound learning in that. You know, I want as much of the Lord as I possibly can in my life, because I need Him every day of my life. And He has never failed me, and He won't fail me yet. So I urge the church tonight, I urge you as born-again Christians, if you know somebody, if somebody came to your mind while we was reading these scriptures, witness to them in a loving way. Don't beat them over the head. They don't need that. They don't need that condemnation. They don't need that judgmental attitude, but they need an arm and a hand stretched out and reach out to them. Do you remember somebody who was loving and compassionate and patient with you and brought you into the knowledge of Christ and brought you, amen, to an altar of repentance in their love? That's what we need to do to the others, because I will assure you, there's people right here in this town that need salvation, that need the Lord. Let's not wait. Let's don't wait till it's too late. Even if we're ready, maybe there's somebody in our life. Maybe there's somebody that we know that we can reach out to. I pray that this message, I pray that you read that scripture and see if it doesn't grip your heart like it did mine. It really took hold of my heart to let me know that, you know, not only is one of these days it's going to be too late to receive Christ, it's going to be too late to even preach repentance. Amen. And that's what really concerned me. You know, as we preach the messages that we feel that the Lord lays upon our heart, there is a day, and this day is the day of salvation. So take this and maybe minister to somebody. Maybe see somebody that you know or something, and love them. love them to Christ. That's what brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. And I'll just love each and every one of you. You know what? I'm planning to see each and every one of you in heaven. And I want to take as many people as we possibly can with us to heaven. Amen. Would you stand? Glory to God. Hallelujah. This probably has not been a shouting message. You know, sometimes messages are more to the heart, and maybe we can shout later on down the road. But you know what? Even the angels in heaven shout when one comes to repentance. Amen. When comes one to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So may God bless you. We love you. If you need prayer tonight, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, this altar is open. It's never closed. You can't close an altar. Amen. But if you have a need, you want to bring it before the church tonight, or you want to come at this altar and kneel down, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. If you're sick, if you're afflicted, or if you just need a touch from the Lord. While every head is bowed, every eye closed. Is there one tonight? Glory to God. Some of you come around, if you would, and let's pray for these needs tonight. We serve a mighty God. just love Him, church? Can we just lift our hands, give Him a love offering tonight? Heavenly Father, we love and we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, for Your mercy, for Your healing power. God, for this church, for the blessed saints, God, that You've brought to us tonight. God, we're so thankful for Your mighty healing Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Glory to God. God bless you, folks. We love you. Brother Jim, come dismiss us with a word of prayer. Amen. Have a blessed evening, folks. Praise You.
Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. He is so merciful and so loving. I just want to thank Him for answering prayers. I want to thank y'all for all your prayers and for your love. And just wanted you to know that how many times has a statement been made, if I can just get to Jesus, well, all we got to do is call on His name. Amen. Amen. And just have that faith and give it to Him. All hearts and minds clear. Praise God. So good to have y'all with us. You're all invited back for service Wednesday night. Love to have you. Have a wonderful and blessed week. Be careful. And just be in much prayer for those that aren't with us this evening for whatever reason. Today has been a powerful day. Let's just let the Lord just continue to minister us with His Word. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You again for allowing us to gather in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, Your Word is powerful. Lord, thank You for giving us that privilege and that honor, dear Lord, that we can be and, dear Lord, in Your presence. Dear Lord, we thank You for answering prayers. We thank You for Your many blessings, dear Lord, for those testimonies of praise that's gone forth. And, dear Lord, we're expecting many, many more. And, dear Lord, for those that we prayed for today that have lost a loved one, for those that are in ICU, those who are in intensive care, dear Lord, right now, some of those prayer requests going forth, all prayers, dear Lord. Lord, we know that You're greater than cancer. You're greater than all the losses that we face. But, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory, and we thank You in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful, wonderful start of the week. Praise God.